The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwasWrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Ellie Gargano is an entrepreneur, writer, survivor, and victim advocate from Southern California. She originally began sharing her story of resilience after attending the Las Vegas Route 91 Festival and surviving a gunshot wound to the head. After enduring several surgeries and physically recovering, Ellie began to realize she still had more trauma to digest. After escaping an abusive 9-year relationship that persisted throughout her entire healing journey, Ellie's path of sharing has evolved and now allows her to advocate for domestic violence survivors. The Broken Cycle Media team is so very grateful for Ellie's tenacity, resilience, and willingness to share so much of what came next for her with our audience today.
Hi, my name is Ellie Gargano. I am 30 years old. I live in Southern California with my 6-year-old yellow Labrador Retriever. I am a small business owner, entrepreneur, a writer, and advocate for domestic violence awareness. I think my friends and family would describe me as resilient. I've been through a few hardships in my life, which we'll get into in this episode, but I usually try to take a positive route. I do try my best to use what I've been through to inspire others and to help other people. I've been told by friends that I'm very creative. That's that entrepreneurial side of me, and also a compassionate person. I really care about my friends and my family. I have a younger sister. She's a couple years younger than me. We're actually both adopted. I was adopted from China when I was 8 months old. And then I have an adopted sister who is from Indonesia. My mom has red hair and my dad is an Italian man, originally from New York. So We don't look the same, but the love was always there. I had come from a very loving, supportive home, so I'm very grateful for that. I grew up, for the most part, in Southern California. My family moved here when I was in second grade. But before that, I did travel around a lot, overseas and also different parts of the country for my dad's job. In high school, I was really focused on school and getting good grades. I was a cheerleader. I did that as a sport, though I wouldn't say I'm the most athletic person, nor was I grouped in with the popular girls. I just did that for the mandatory sport that you have to play. My senior year, I was the yearbook editor with a couple other people. So I've always been into writing, photography, and being creative. Growing up, I always wanted to work in fashion. I thought that I was going to grow up and work for a major fashion magazine like Vogue or Elle magazine. I always just wanted to be in that space. And then my other dream growing up was always to be a writer. After high school, I went to TCU, Texas Christian University, in Fort Worth, Texas. So I moved away to go to college. That wasn't something that I originally had seen myself doing. I stay close to my roots, but I ended up going on a college tour to TCU and I ended up really loving the campus. So I decided to spread my wings and go to the Lone Star State for school. I ended up really loving it there, meeting some of my best friends to this day. I studied strategic communication, which is their advertising and public relations major. That's where I started learning about marketing and advertising. I was about to be a junior in college. This was in 2014. I was home for summer break, staying at my parents' house. I decided to download Tinder, the dating app. It was up and coming. My friends were using it. I was a little uncertain about it, but I just decided, well, I'm home for the summer. I'm bored at home. I might as well give it a go and see what's out there. I ended up meeting my ex through Tinder. We talked a little bit on the app and then he asked for my phone number. And when he texted me, it was a green text message. So I knew it wasn't an iPhone, which I thought was a little weird at first. Because before we were going to have a date, I asked him to FaceTime. And he did have an iPhone. So I was like, why is his text green? But of course, he had some reason. He said that he got a new phone or something. Before our first date, we FaceTimed for like 5 hours. I'm 20 years old at this point. I've never had a real boyfriend or relationship. So to me, I'm like, oh, this guy is so great. We can talk about anything. We can talk for 5 hours and we haven't even met yet. I was reluctant to meet him because he didn't really have a lot going for him at the time. He was living with family members. He didn't have a job, no car. He had just gotten out of the military, was my understanding. So I was like, okay, he's trying to figure out his life. I had to drive almost an hour away to meet him. I honestly almost didn't go because to me, I was like, this is a lot of effort for somebody that I have never met. But because of the 5 hour long FaceTime, I was like, all right, I'll go. Since we started messaging, he did not let up. He would text me nonstop all day, want to FaceTime every single day, want to hang out every single day. At the time I was young, I didn't know that that was a red flag, but it felt nice to be wanted. It felt nice to have somebody that interested in me. So I continued to see him for that whole summer. It's like a 2.5 month period. So we hung out almost every single day. I was doing an internship at the time. So whenever I got off, we'd hang out till like 2 in the morning and then I would drive home. It was a lot of time being spent together. My parents had met him over the summer. Since he lived kind of far away, my parents were nice enough that they would let him sleep on our couch so that I wouldn't have to drive all the way there to see him and then drive home at 2 in the morning. So eventually, after they met him, he would just stay at my parents' house.
they did not like him. They made it very clear, but they always are so supportive of me and love me, so they would do anything for me. But there were many times where my parents would bring up to me, we don't really like how he talks to you, or it seems like he might have a drinking problem. He drinks a lot. And I just always defended him. He just jokes around a lot. That's just how he is. It's a term of endearment when he calls me silly or dumb. It's not that big of a deal. He didn't really show very controlling tendencies when I was living at home for the summer. That whole summer, everything seemed okay. I still had 2 years left of college, and we did long distance. He would visit me at college, and then I would obviously come home for whatever breaks I had. The relationship, while it was long distance, was very hard. And not in the conventional sense where you miss and love your partner so much and it's so hard to be away from them. It was honestly just so tumultuous. I would try to break up with him multiple times throughout those 2 years being long distance, but he would always suck me back in and we would get back together. I was crying on the phone almost every day. He was always accusing me of doing something that I wasn't doing or cheating. It became a lot to handle, but I somehow managed to keep my two lives separate. I had my school life with my friends. I still wanted to go out and have fun and be a college-aged woman. And then I had this relationship that was very draining and took up a lot of my time. I tried so hard to focus on my school, and I still was able to get good grades and accomplish that, but it was not easy. He would keep me up till 1-2 in the morning. Mind you, he's on West Coast time, so that's not as late for him. But for me, I would be up till 2 a.m. going back and forth, circular argument, talking about how I didn't feel like it was working. And then he would just figure out what to say, I guess. He would also send me gifts. He didn't have a lot of money, but he would send me small Amazon packages of things that he thought I would like. Or he would DoorDash me dinner if I had said, oh, I didn't have time to eat. So it was very nice, sweet things like that. And I thought, oh, this is what a nice boyfriend would do. So the toxic things kind of fade away. I was like, maybe this isn't as bad as I think.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
When I left and went back to school, he became very jealous very easily. I remember I posted a photo that I had taken with some friends. We had a concert at school. He texted me a million times about how my shorts were so short and why was I wearing those and who was I wearing that for. Never before had he ever commented on my clothing. So I just thought that was really weird. Also, I had given him my old iPad, and when he turned it on, I guess my Facebook was logged in, and all these old Facebook messages popped up for him. And it was me talking to a long time ago before I had even met him. But for him, it came up. And so he called me a million times. I was busy at school and he was blowing up my phone saying that he knows that I'm cheating. And I was like, that's from over a year ago. Like, you can look at the timestamp. He became very jealous, very possessive. It just became very overwhelming. It wasn't what I thought he was like. When I was still at school, it was the next summer that I'd come home. We had been out at a party for one of his friends. It was like a graduation party. I remember it clearly. He had been getting really drunk. I was starting to feel a little uncomfortable about how he was acting, so I asked if we could leave. He flipped a switch. I had never seen his face turn that way. I could tell he was mad that I said that. I don't even think I said it in front of anybody else either, but he got his things and we went out to the car to leave. And when we went out to the car where nobody was, he shoved me super hard into the car. I ended up falling on the ground and he twisted my leg up over my head. It was super violent. I had never experienced anything like that before, so I truly had no idea what was even happening. A neighbor had seen and heard me screaming and called the cops. The cops ended up coming and I lied. I said nothing happened. They checked my body for marks. There was like a small mark. They said, well, we think something happened, so he's going to jail. I remember when he was getting put into the car, he looked me in the eye. He's in handcuffs at this point. And he said, thanks a lot. Now you're going to put me in jail just like all of my exes did. I should have ran for the hills at that moment, but I was so consumed with, I thought that it was my fault that I had done this, that I was betraying him, that I did put him in jail. If I hadn't had asked him to leave, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. That was the first physical incident we ever had. I actually did have intentions to break up with him. I had to call my mom and she came and picked me up from this party with strangers. I was crying. It was this whole thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to break up with him. Obviously, this is not good. I brought all of his belongings that I had at my house, like his sweatshirt and a few things, in a box to his family member's house where he was staying. I dropped it off. I said, I can't be with him. Then when he called me from jail, he acted like nothing even happened. He was like, oh, hey. And I was like, what do you mean, hey? You're in jail. You assaulted me. And what is even going on? And he was like, I don't even know what happened. They did a medical exam on me when I got here and it came out positive for whatever the date rape drug is. He's like, yeah, so I don't know what happened. I must have gotten drugged at the party. He was eventually released on bail. Once he was out, he wanted to see me. I had said, I brought all your things back and we're not going to be together anymore, but sure, we can meet up. Of course, we meet up and he's acting like everything's fine. He's apologizing. He's saying that he doesn't remember any of it. He was very inebriated at the time. And I just thought, well, it was a one-time incident. I ended up not pressing any charges. So he got off and we end up getting back together. Eventually, I would graduate from college in 2016 and move back home to Orange County. I moved back in with my parents. My plan was to be with them for a little while I saved money and was working. I got my first job working in marketing as a marketing assistant for a tech company. So not exactly the field of fashion, but it was still a really good company. I really liked the culture of the company and the people that I worked with. And I did learn a lot. I had a lot of fun working there. But right when I got back, I was pressured by my ex to get an apartment together and to take that next step. He was 5 years older than me. He lived with his family members still, and he wanted to move out and not live there anymore. I really didn't feel good about it in my gut. Everything in me was screaming not to do it, but he had pretty much given me an ultimatum. If we're not going to do this, why were we even together? And so I thought, okay, well, I guess this is the next step. How bad could it be? I guess we should move in together. I had told him, okay, if we're going to do this, it needs to be 50-50. You're working now. You have a job. I need to know that you can pay your half of the rent every month and half of the bills. And he said, yeah, of course. So I did what nobody should do. I knew that my parents were not going to be cool with it. So I went with him looking for apartments behind their back. And once we found one and put a deposit down, then I told my parents after it had already been done so that they couldn't say anything about it. The first month we move in together, it's split 50-50. All the bills are in my name and under my card, but he sends me the money. Month two, oh, I have a problem. I don't have enough this month. I didn't get enough hours. Can you just cover me for this month only? Sure. Month three, same thing. From then on, never again was it equal.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I cannot stress it enough. If you're thinking about moving in with someone and your gut is telling you not to do it, please do not do it. It is the hardest thing to get out of once you're stuck there. That is if you're with an abusive person who won't let you leave. But it was also the most difficult time of my life. Once we actually moved in together, it was truly awful. I could not even explain how terrible it was. Every night he would stay up drinking a ton to the point of being so drunk that he was dealing with his own demons. So he would hit himself and get super angry and break things. I was super afraid, so I would often run out of the house in the middle of the night and drive around in my car till I felt like he was probably passed out, and then I would come home. Sometimes I would just stay out all night and then come home and get ready for work and go to work. It was truly the worst time of my life. It was also just exhausting. Where my parents lived, I couldn't afford to live in an apartment there. I had moved a bit farther away to a more affordable area. It wasn't the nicest area. It was also about a 40-minute commute to my work. I can't stress that enough how terrible it was. And then not only that, he started getting physical when we had our own apartment. I remember at one point when I started realizing the physical abuse was bad was when he would take my face and shove it into the couch cushion so I couldn't breathe. And then he would grab a lamp and pretend like he was going to hit me on the head with the lamp. So many things in our home were broken, just terrible. I'm saying all of this now, but at the time, even being shoved into the cushion, being threatened and called names, I didn't even classify any of that as abuse until probably the year before I decided to get out of the relationship. We were together a total of 9 years. So probably until year 8 was when I started being like, okay, this is actually abuse. Because I just did not have the knowledge or the vocabulary. I didn't know that I could call it that. He would always say, oh, I'm just so sorry that this happened to you when there was something physical. And I would ask him, has this ever happened before with any of your exes? And he would say, no, never. I've gotten angry and broken things and yelled, but I've never become physically violent with anyone before. It's just so unfortunate that my mental health issues are impacting you in this way. For a while, I bought that, but deep down, I knew that that wasn't true. He's done this before. He's just the victim always. He did say he had horrible credit. He had explained to me that it was because his exes fucked him over. Eventually, he had me put him as a verified user on my credit card. He said, I'll never use it. I won't use it, but just so it can bump up my credit score. I resisted it for such a long time, but then eventually I did allow that. There were many times that he would get arrested during the course of our relationship. Some while I was still away at school, he would get arrested for being drunk in public. He would get kicked out of bars a lot. He would get in fights. And then also when I had moved home and we were together, he would get in fights with police officers as well. So he would often get in trouble for that. A lot of his family were in law enforcement. For a long time, I was scared to ever speak out about it because A, I saw how he would just get out of things very easily. He knew his way around the law and what to say and who to call. But then B, because he also had told me this, that nobody would believe me if I came forward, because who are they going to believe? You or me, who has law enforcement on his side and was in the military and served our country. In 2017, we were living together still. I was working at my job. The friend that I had met through him had reached out to me and she was like, hey, there's this country music festival in Las Vegas. It would be a 3-day weekend. Would you want to go as a girls' trip? Girls' trips were difficult because of how controlling he was, but I never let it go. Like, I would just persevere. I would say, well, I want to do this and I'm going to go. He would always turn that around on me and say that I was selfish and inconsiderate. I knew how important friendships were. Even when I could feel the relationship was going downhill and turning sour, I was always in the back of my mind, like, don't lose your friends because you're going to need them. So I would always try to prioritize my friendships a lot during the relationship. When our friend had brought up, do you want to go on this girls' trip, and presented it to me, things weren't going well at home at the time. I truly thought, okay, this will be great to get away for a weekend and figure out what I want to do. Leading up to that girls' weekend and concert, I had been thinking about trying to leave the relationship. I just didn't really know how to get all my stuff and move out. I didn't have a plan yet, but it was in the back of my mind. He had been so adamant that it was a bad idea and that I shouldn't be going all the way to Vegas with just 2 girls. She was married, so we should come with the husbands and boyfriend because it's not safe. I was very clear. No, I want to go. You're not invited. This is just for us. The company that I was working for at the time had a satellite office in Vegas. And above the office, there was a 2-bedroom loft with a kitchen and bathroom. And if any of the employees wanted to have a Vegas weekend, they could stay there. So I was like, okay, I've been working here for 1.5 years. I think I could ask to use the loft for this weekend and it will be super fun. That's what I ended up doing. We were at the concert. It was honestly super fun. We had a great time up until the last night, which was Sunday night. That turned into a mass shooting around 10 p.m. I was actually towards the front of the crowd. I was struck in the back of the head. The bullet ended up entering my brain in the occipital lobe, which controls your vision. I ended up having 3 brain surgeries, 2 while in Las Vegas, and then 1 back in Orange County when I eventually came home to California. When I was in the hospital in Las Vegas recovering, my parents and my ex had driven out that night. I was in a coma for 3 days. Then they woke me up and I was getting better pretty quickly. I was able to regain all of my faculties. I started doing physical therapy and occupational therapy at the hospital. So I was getting better pretty quickly, considering the extent of the injury. I was pretty shielded from the media attention at the beginning because I was incapacitated and I was in surgeries. But then as I moved on in my healing and I was in more of the rehabilitation floor of the hospital, I did get some visitors. Some senator came and visited, and Disney sent Mickey Mouse. I didn't mind it personally. I didn't mind that people wanted to come and take photos, but I remember my ex had felt and planted it in my head that this was very exploitative. I remember he used the media as a way to pit my family against me and plant the seed in my mind that they did not have my best interest in mind. My parents had done a couple interviews. They had wanted to spread word about my story, but then also they had done an interview asking to help locate the people who drove me to the hospital that night because we didn't know who they were and they were trying to make connections and wanted to thank them. At the time, I remember my ex had really driven it home to me that they were being secretive and exploiting me for media attention. It was very odd. I had no problem with it personally, but that's what was being told to me. During that time in the hospital, my parents were very much like, okay, you should move home with us. I knew in my gut, this is a moment that you've been waiting for. You need to take this and move home with your parents. But on the other hand, he was right there the whole time. He was being kind and supportive and caring. In my mind, he was there for me. He was pretty much at my beck and call. He would stay all night at the hospital and do everything that I needed from him. While I was in the hospital recovering, still kind of delirious on drugs, he's pushing me to move back in with him, re-sign this lease because it was going to be up. He was like, I'm going to move us down to a bottom floor so you don't have to worry about stairs. He's like organizing all these things on the back end. So I thought, okay, obviously, if we go home, he's going to be different. I just got shot in the head and now I have a brain injury. He's not going to abuse me now. I mean, I didn't think it was abuse at the time, but I was like, he's obviously going to be nice to me. Things are going to be better. So I was like, okay, fine, sure. And I signed the paperwork to live with him again. That was a mistake, but it's what I did. I had another surgery in November. That was well enough to not have to stay at the hospital, but they still wanted me to work on getting my strength back. So I stayed with my family and ex at my company's loft. I didn't get to come home to California until November 29th. So it was after Thanksgiving. Eventually, when I did move home with my ex, things were okay, I guess, for a while, but there were still small incidences that would happen. But for the most part, I felt like things are going okay. The focus is on me and my recovery, and it's going to be all right.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
I began to rely on him entirely for everything. If I wanted to go somewhere, he was always like, I'll just drive you. It's fine. I want you to be safe. It got to the point where I did not go anywhere without him, but it was disguised as care. But then it got to the point where I was like, I want to do things on my own. I want to feel independent. I think that that's how the control started to creep in more. And then eventually, once I was able to do more on my own, the physical abuse would start again.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production, co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.